Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SWP Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Justin Meinhardt joins me to talk guests every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talks website at www.talkshoe.com. And search for call ID 17702 or SFU on call, Starfleet Universe on call. Also, if you want to, you can listen to us and watch us on twitch.tv because I have a video feed over there. I don't think I want to try to do video feed both on, you know, it's a nuts. It's easier if I just do it to Twitch. So go to twitch.tv/SFU on call. And you will find us there, and you actually can join in the chat room over there. And I'm more than happy to answer any questions there. And there might be a little delay, but I will hope to get to those questions ASAP. Of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's also sfuoncall. I also have a personal account called Paul Franz, if you want to follow me there. Just a reminder, that's P-A-U-L-F-R-N-Z. It's a reminder that I am a very much an Orioles fan. I am Catholic and very proud of it. And, of course, also, I love all kinds of tech. So if any of these things bother you, don't follow me. And, of course, I have a tertiary account called Franz Games, where I keep people up to date on the latest happenings there. Obviously, those things are few and far between, so if you want to follow, you know, just see what happenings are there and not have to worry about being just inundated by posts every day, that's the one you want to follow. And of course, these lovely talkcasts gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB, and that is that the new Shapeways minis will be out next week. So they announced that they'll have the new minis available as of June 7th up on Shapeways. So feel free to stop by there on Monday. Moving onward to the SFB Online tournament, we currently have the Sapphire Star 8 tournament. Round 1 is completed. Round 2 is completed. Round 3, not completed. We have one of the two games looks like it is completed, and we are waiting for that so that we have the finals and have them all set. And moving onward to the FedCom library, because that's where the action is these days, and that is that we're up to 450 squadron-sized ships and also 347 fleet-sized ships. So we've got quite a few of those. Yes, I know there's quite a difference between the 100 ships difference. And obviously that's because of some of those have... we got the squadron and we got them all done, but we didn't do the fleet. And I know some of them are Andromedans. And I apologize for not getting around to doing the fleet-sized ships when it comes to the Andromedans that I've already done for the squadron size, because I figured that's the most popular size. That's the one that I think most people are going to want to play if they're going to play any ship at all. Obviously, I'm sorry. I could think about the whole reason for fleets, and that just did not work out. Fleet size are now just kind of a pared down ship that you use if you're trying to get your BPV for a battle to a certain range. But anyway, with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one, all Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe on call. Is there an echo in here? This is lovely to actually have you here tonight with me. For those of you who are with me, I was hoping Barry would be with me, but I don't see Barry at the moment. Ah, Barry just showed up. Oh, that's awesome. Barry, how you doing?
I've been here for a few minutes.
Yeah, but
it didn't recognize me.
Took a little bit because, like, yeah. Okay, I looked at 5 minutes ago. You weren't here. It's like, oh, man. I hate it when you're late. But it changes the flow because I usually start with one topic because I say, oh, you're not going to be here. Then we switch to your topic. Then I have to switch back. And it's like, it really, you know, it's disjointed when it comes to the flow of things.
Sorry. Oh,
that's okay. That's fine. That's
my
fine.
Wife texted me a few minutes before and said, well, if you're home over the weekend, you can drive me to the hospital on Saturday. I'm like, yeah, I'll be home on Saturday.
So part of the honey-do list is taking her to the hospital. Okay.
Yeah. CT scan. We don't know what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Understood.
Good.
It'll be in my prayers.
Much appreciated.
No problem. I was wondering what do you want to talk about tonight? I was thinking, you know, that you wanted to, since you sent me a link to latest and greatest second generation X ships, that's what you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, that was the idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
of course, it's on Drive, and Peter is having the most wonderful time trying to lock onto the hotel net internet, and it can't. So I have no way of accessing it. Give me a few minutes here. Maybe you can open it up. Basically, I modified the phasers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me go up. Is that the highlighted portion? I saw there's a highlighted portion in the phaser section. Da, 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 da. Maneuver, battery, power system. Oh, this is the power systems section where I saw the.
No, it was under phasers.
It was under phasers. Okay.
That was the only modification.
Okay, but for 4.1.
Other things, but it's like.
Okay, let me look. Direct fireworks and phasers. Okay. Let's see. Okay, phasers still have the same capacitors, but they have twice. They can fire twice a turn. Okay, that's no big.
No. That's an old version. You're on an old version.
This is the one I downloaded from the link.
Trying to because I sort of have internet connection. Oh, I hate this.
So there's changes you have locally, but they didn't get uploaded to Google Drive.
I hate. Problem is that it makes you lose connection all the time. To sign back in, and if you don't forget the network, if you don't tell it to forget the network, like I can't log in because you're already logged in, but you're not logged in, so I can't log in.
Excuse me?
Yeah, it's weird. It's like, oh, you need to go to the network login page. You go there, it's like, no, it's an error. Sorry, but you need to log in, but I won't let you do that because you're already logged in. But you're really not logged in.
I think you're talking to yourself and not talking to me.
No, I'm talking to you.
I'm not
logged. This is why I can't. Why? Okay.
Yeah, because I'm not. Currently, I don't have the page up. I downloaded it as
I'm
a doc.
I'm trying to. Which version do you have? 4.2?
4.1.
I thought I had sent you 4.2.
Okay. Well, the file is called Rev 4.1.
And what does it say at the top? Is it the notes at the top?
Yeah. Let me look. Gotta get through my firewall. As many protections I add. Okay. At the very top, it says 4.1 adjust phasers and add PPDs. Also adjust cloaks.
Yeah, that's the old one.
Yeah, that's the one that's at the top of the page.
You got the old one. Crap. All right, then it's a 4.2 that I'm trying to get to, but the frickin' internet won't work.
So that might shoot down the idea then.
It'll come up as soon as you come up with it. You can't log in because you're already logged in, but you can't get to the internet because you're logged in. You're not logged in, so you can't get to the internet. In. Well, you can't because you're already logged
in. In the meantime, Barry is dealing with some minor... Yes.
Yeah, probably about 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I'll be able to change.
Okay, I will, instead of having dead air here, I will come up, I'll discuss something else as a precursor to what the next topic is planned for tonight. If we get to that, that might be the topic for tonight. That's one thing that Chris brought up last week is Starmada, and that Starmada is basically, I want to say pared down version of Starfleet Battles, but it's not. It's a implementing the idea of the Starfleet Battles in the Starmada rule, using the Starmada rules. It's just like with, ACTA SF, Call to Arms. A Call to Arms. Okay. Took me a moment to remember what that is. And the whole idea was to take the concepts of Starfleet Universe, re-implement them using a different rule base. And just like the whole idea of Prime Directive. We got Prime Directive not just in, you have GURPS, you have D20. I forget if there's anything else. And as it is, I think currently they've been focusing on updating the GURPS version of Prime Directive. I'm not sure what happened with the D20 version. I think one time they had a D6, which is just, it's interesting, versus the original. When it comes to Prime Directive, going back in time, Prime Directive actually was ADB's actually implementation of a role-playing game, which was a much different idea than currently is. Currently, Prime Directive is much more of an open world versus Prime Directive originally was, the idea was that you're part of a Prime team and you go down to the planet and you do certain things. Versus now you're actually playing characters that can go on missions. They can, you can do other things other than not being a spy or being a Prime team and attacking, figuring out how to attack or infiltrate a Klingon base or something along those lines, Starmada versus Starfleet Battles or even Federation Commander was that there's a set of rules which Starmada uses. In fact, let me look, this is the wrong one. I don't want bring up the correct one. Is this the right one? No, this is the wrong one. Okay. And this is, I'm looking at page 3, and I want to show this. Okay. And I'll bring that up so that you guys can actually see it. This is the star model. This is the PDF of the star model rulebook. Actually, if you want, for those on the video, this is what the actual book looks like. It's nice, beautiful, colorful. This is actually the Unity, because they've gone through multiple revisions of it. Is a board game, Iggy. Just like Starfleet Battles, it's a board game. And a whole new set of rules. And so the Star Mod has gone through multiple revisions. They originally started with the Admiralty edition. That's the one I originally learned on. When I first was introduced to Star Mod, it was the Admiralty edition. And then they produced one which I wasn't... Admiralty edition had its issues when it comes to trying to make the Star Mod, you know, the background material, which is for SFU, placed on the Star Mata rule book, rule set of rules. On the but you know, the way the interactions weren't quite SFB like, and Lord knows, I think that it definitely there's some things that were completely missing, and the way they initially were implemented, I think they chose the wrong mechanisms within Star Mata to implement those things, i.e. like drones. Originally, drones were more like a direct fire weapon, kind of, versus what I'd have to double check on Unity, but I know with the advent of, what was the one after Admiralty? There's one after Admiralty and I can't remember off the top of my head. The one after Admiralty, that one, I'm sure Chris will probably point out to me. Nova, thank you. I knew Chris was going to help me out. And that one, it was more of what a seeking weapon should, what a drone is, which is a seeking weapon, an actual missile that moves through space. And and the whole idea of it is, you know, as anyone with Starfleet Battles knows, seeking weapons are mainly, they're a weapon that are supposed to produce damage, but, understood, Chris. Chris was mentioning the Unity edition, which is the latest edition. The seeking drones. The drones and the plasma are more like, you know, actually pieces on the board, which is, I think, is a good thing because of, as I was trying to get around to saying, which I mentioned actually multiple times, if you ever listen to this podcast, you've heard me say it multiple times, and that is that seeking weapons are mobile terrain. And the reason why it's mobile terrain is because of it forces people to go where invariably they don't want to go. Yes, they can knock them down, they can shoot them up, they can kill them, but at what cost? And in some cases, when it comes to plasma, how close? You first have to run away, which means it's automatically, in my mind, mobile terrain. If you have to change the way you're going to move, it's mobile terrain. Versus if it wasn't mobile terrain, you just blast right through it and it wouldn't change anything except for possibly use up some of your weapons. You know, so in which case they'd be purely weapon soakers. You know, well, the idea of just using up any weapons that you have, making sure they're not available or they use up power, you know, in the case of Starfleet Battles. Star Mata doesn't have the idea of power. It's a different system when it comes to that. What I want to go through with Star Mining, actually, for any of you who actually looked at Twitter or looked at the page, the about page for the podcast, I mentioned that basically this is part one, because I thought about it and I realized this is to tell people about Starmada, what Starmada is, and teach a little bit about Starmada, and maybe even get people interested in playing it. But in kind of like in this case, Klingon Armada, which is they take one thing about Starmada as the core rule book in general. Starmada is actually more of a system that you can use to play, to create your own universe. They have multiple ways of doing movement, multiple ways of doing, of actually designing weapons. And given those building blocks in Starmada, you actually can create whatever weapons you want for the most part. And that's one thing that Daniel, the person who created Starmada, is Daniel Cast. Daniel Cast, he's kind of like me in that selling Starmada is not his main business. This is a side hustle that he does to earn a little bit extra money and also to fulfill his passion for creating games. You know, he has a daytime job, just like the rest of us schmucks, to actually pay the bills. Now, when it comes to Starmada, you know, you're given that those building blocks, and you can create many different things. And one thing that I definitely feel like having Daniel work on the Starfleet universe forced him to do certain things that previously he would have never done. And that is expanding the way to think of, to expand the tools that are available for Starmada, the core rulebook, to add into the core rulebook those things that are needed to simulate, to add Starfleet Universe. Because there are certain things that aren't part of anything else, but Star, you know, normally they weren't in Starmada. If you ever look at the actual Admiralty edition, you will not see some of the weapons or even a way of simulating some of the weapons in Starfleet Universe. But when they added Nova, they expanded, and I think I don't think Unity expanded. The whole idea of Unity was to bring together Admiralty and Nova Edition into one. Because some people like the Admiralty version and some people like the Nova Edition. And to be honest, I like the Admiralty Edition. I looked at Nova and went, Though, as I pointed out last week, when it comes to Starmada, the one thing that I definitely agree that didn't work when it comes to Starmada was trying to implement directional shields. It did not work in Starmada. I have to take a look, see, I forget exactly how they implemented it in the Unity edition, but I know they removed that in the Nova edition. So which I think is quite interesting. Now, as Chris pointed out in the chat room, and if you're not here, I'm sorry. let me just go back here for a moment. Okay, just want to make sure that I'm not missing anything over in the talk show, because I try to pay attention to them, though. These days, the only person who really shows up there is Dave, who also normally shows up over here on Twitch. Yeah, Chris is mentioning that there's only four in Unity that has shields, but there's only four of them versus six. And I think that's a better way of doing it. Let's throw a notice here that I have not reread those rules that, and it's been a while since I've read the Unity Edition rules. Because Unity Edition actually came out, what? Chris, do you remember whether it was, I think it was 3 years ago? Maybe a little longer than that? I know that they finally got, yes, Barry.
I finally got in. I gave up on the hotel internet and hotspotted my phone in.
Okay.
It just was, yeah. And I resent you the 4.2.
Okay.
Sorry to interrupt in the middle of this.
No problem. Okay, so, oh, well, Chris says it thinks it was 4 years ago. That would not surprise me. But I know just in the past year, I think it is, that they actually finally finished putting out, updating all of the editions to be Unity editions. So it took a little bit of time, you know, after the initial core rulebook done 4 years ago, which I'm one of those people, I jumped as soon as Daniel had it available on his site, M12 Games. I jumped on it and I bought it, both the electronic version and the hard copy. I immediately bought it from him because I really wanted it so badly. Now, it took a little while to get the Klingon edition out, which was the first one. And then I think they got the Romulan, then Distant Worlds, and then there's one other one, which I can't remember off the top of my head. I think they just put out the Battleship. Yeah, Klingon Armada was 2017. So, okay, wow. Well, yeah, that's true. Because that's one thing that AWS really was pushing, I think, was for the Unity Edition. So, let me do this. And I just want to, okay, close this. Okay, Barry, which email address did you send it to?
Paul Friends at...
Because last one you sent me at my Andromedan at SAP Online.
It's the Andromedan at gmail.com. That's the wrong one.
Oh, the Andromedan.
Yes.
Okay.
Not have used that.
No, I can use that. I just, what I gotta do is I have to sign in.
Hang on. Let me just delete that. Let me remove that, and then I will add.
Because of that's one I actually have to fix.
Oh, Paul P. Friend. Which one?
Paul P. Friend. That will do fine. The Paul P. Friends will work fine.
There it goes.
Okay, and there it is. Okay, and that. And copy link address. And that. Oh, you gotta be kidding me. Now you're asking me to sign in? You piece of crap. Don't mind me. My guess is Google went, oh, that's a Gmail address. So guess what? Okay, give me a sec. It's going to take me a little bit of time here. Because I know we don't run around logged into Google. Typed in correctly. goes. And this one. And Lord knows I hate that Google did that. They changed it so that the username and password on two separate pages. So you have to, if you're using a password manager, you have to use it twice. It's just,
oh geez.
Yeah. Pain in the butt. Okay, and of course I'm smart about it, so I've got my two FA. I have to set the there. Okay. I don't care. Google says, "Oh, I didn't collaborate." It's like, I do not care. Okay, and this one says 4.2. Okay, let's go down to the phasers. Okay, let's kill the other one. Okay, so let's and zoom in. Thank you. I want to make sure that people can actually read this, because this is, it's kind of, in my mind, kind of pointless if you can't read it. No, at least I can't share it with other people. And okay, I'm waiting for my Twitch just to get caught up a little bit. I don't, maybe I must be really far behind. Okay, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do this because. Huh? I must be so far behind. Ah, this is fun. That's weird. I thought I was looking directly at there. Okay. Well, anyway, getting back to Barry on the lovely night. Okay. So a little, definitely different. Here's a chord normal 8 impulse delay. Phaser 1s can fire twice per turn with 8 impulse delay between shots. Okay, it costs 1 point of power. Big surprise. You change that, I would have been shocked. And of course, the Phaser 1 can be fired as a Phaser 3. This is going to be interesting. Of course, whatever. Phaser 1s are offensive phasers. Yeah. Okay. There's a range bracket advantage. What does that mean?
Okay, so all phasers have a range, fire as if the range is one range bracket closer than it actually is. That's your bonus. Phaser 1s lose that bonus if firing at size class 7.
Oh, okay, I missed that part.
Yes.
Okay, so all phasers fire as if one range bracket closer. Okay, but when they're firing on size class, basically seeking weapons, you lose that range bracket.
Yeah.
You lose that change of range bracket.
Right. Basically, phaser 1s are meant to shoot at ships.
Right.
Or fighters or shuttles. But, against plasmas and drones, they're still effective, but they're not. They lose a little advantage. Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting idea. Okay, and phaser 2s can also fire multiple times per turn between shots. For each shot, takes 1 point of power. Same old. Okay, same old, same old for phaser 2 versus phaser 3s. Though the phaser can fire up to 3 times per turn, as long as no more than 2 points of power are used.
So basically, if you're firing 3 times in one turn, only one of the shots can be on the phaser 2 table. The other 2 shots must be on the phaser 3 table.
Right. That took me a moment to click in my brain.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you could fire all 3 shots on the phaser 3 table if you wanted to.
Right. Understood. And that would, so then you'd only have to use 1.5 points of power versus 2.
Well, there's other advantages. When firing on the P2 table, they get the range back advantage on all objects larger than size class 7, drones and plasmas. When you're firing on the P3 table, they only get the range back advantage on size class 6 and 7. Basically, you're firing it as offensive mode and as a phaser 2, or defensive mode as a phaser 3. Defensive, it's really designed to shoot against smaller stuff, and offensive, it's designed to shoot against ships.
Huh. That is an interesting idea. So, if you're using...
From the 1970s, they said phaser 2s are offensive, defensive, but they never really went into that. It was just like a weaker version of a phaser 1. So, why? Let's play with that.
Right. Understood. I think it's an interesting idea. Definitely interesting concept and an interesting reason why to keep phaser 2s on ships versus upgrading everything from phaser 2s to phaser 1s.
Right.
And, what was it? Darn it. Okay. I had a question I can't remember what it was now. Which is fine. Okay. So they get if it fires as a phaser 3, gets a range bracket advantage that that firing as a normal phaser 2 also does unless against drones and seeking weapons.
Yeah, the phaser 3, it can attack small stuff with the range bracket advantage.
Right.
But it has trouble firing again. It has a little less, not as good against ships.
Okay, phaser 3 can fire twice per turn. Each shot can take half a point of power. Okay, I'm assuming that even though you said something which I... Right, okay. I missed that part, which was, I read the first sentence of number one and not the second sentence of number one. It says, all phasers have a two point capacitor. I skipped the except for phaser threes.
Yeah.
I skipped that. And explicit one, which is the next sentence, which is phaser threes have only a capacitor of one. So, okay, cool. And the other.
Now, phaser Gatlings, I did a little different.
Hold on. So, phaser 3s don't get a defense, or defensive phasers, and are designed only for defense. So, they don't get the range bracket advantage if they're firing against a ship.
Right. But they're better than a regular phaser 3 because they're firing against the ship. They still fire like a phaser 3, but it gets 2 shots per turn when they impulse delay.
Actually, that's an excellent question, Chris. I'm assuming that it's still like the same old. Okay, I'll communicate. I'll act as a mediator here. Chris was saying that so each phaser has its own capacitor, not a unified bank of capacitors for all phasers like now. My assumption is that
it's a unified.
Yeah,
no, it's a unified bank.
Yeah, it's just that instead of the current one where it's one phaser one adds has a 1 point capacitor. Each phaser
per
one
phaser.
Yeah, okay, phaser one. Yeah, phaser one or phaser two.
Yeah.
Instead of having a 1 point capacitor, it adds a 2 point capacitor to the network of capacitors that are available for all the phasers.
Correct.
And just like currently, which is the capacitors actually part of the phaser three, of the part of the phaser, and they're interconnected.
Yes.
So if you would lose a phaser one, you lose 2 points capacity, basically.
Right. Yes.
Oh, actually, this brings up a question, actually, before I go on to Gatlings, which was that, you know, with the whole range bracket thing. Is there,
yeah,
is there a range bracket shift if there's against an asteroid?
Against an asteroid?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
I'm assuming, because I'm assuming that asteroids are bigger than ships, so I would think that they would.
Yeah, that one. If an asteroid is it bigger than a ship?
Yeah,
most of the size of the asteroid, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, because asteroids are like, almost like a field of small rocks, or is it larger? You know, you bump into a rock going really fast, it can do a lot of damage.
Oh, why not?
Bigger than a ship, it would probably destroy the ship.
Right. Oh, understood. But there's the, you know, I'm sure you've seen the scenarios. Like, the one scenario that I'm thinking of right off the top of my head is where that basically, I think it's you have a Klingon F5, which is kind of corralling an asteroid to hit a planet.
Yeah.
And the idea is that you need to basically stop the asteroid. But unfortunately, since the asteroid is basically is being protected by the F5, you also have to defeat the F5 at the same time.
Yeah.
The coming of the meteor. Thank you, Chris. Thank you for pointing that one out. Yeah. I remember the scenario. I just
oh, yeah, now that you mention it, yes. But, you know, when you're talking about a large asteroid like that, you know, you would assume that a ship going through an asteroid field would dodge ones that are large because it can see them.
Right.
Smaller ones, it's like they're so numerous and they're so small, it can't dodge every single one. And those are the ones that hit, and those are the ones you're trying to clear out of the way with phasers.
Yeah, actually, that's one thing I've... Okay, now, here's where since this is one of those rules that you rarely ever use. It's probably in the rule book, but it's rarely used. Which is bombardment of planets. I don't remember what weapons you can use to bombard planets.
Oh.
And this is for giggles. Let's say that you can use phasers to bombard planets. Or at the very, well, a base on the planet, you know, obviously you're firing a base, it's larger than a ship, or it's larger than a drone. So, but I'm assuming that if phasers are allowed to do planetary bombardment, you know, basically fire upon a planet to destroy whatever's there, that they could also get the range modifiers.
Well, yeah, the range shift. I guess the basic idea here was that
because it's considered offensive at that point.
Yeah, have to think about that.
Okay. Yeah, because as a I know these are the going off into, it's like, okay, let's go into the nether regions of S&P rulebook, where hardly anyone actually looks at it because it's hardly ever part of a scenario.
Or used.
Yeah.
Right, right. I can't remember the last time I played with actual asteroids.
Oh, I know. Or planets.
Yeah. The only one is the chlorophons. They actually have a device that creates artificial asteroids or something that mimics asteroids.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, here, I'm going to plop some terrain in front of you.
Yeah. Actually, the funny thing is that SFB Online, a number of tournament play, the amount of tournament play has actually been going down to the point where we have some people that play, you know, just for fun games. And we have, we have the Sapphire Star tournaments, which run, you know, almost every single month on the calendar. We had a little break there for a bit.
Yeah.
But most of them these days are campaigns.
Mm.
You know?
Interesting.
People are really getting into doing campaigns, and part of those campaigns invariably involve planets or moons or some of our bases or other things that normally people have not played in the past. Actually, that's the crazy thing. That is absolutely, to me, the nutty thing, because of when we did the big convert from second gen to third gen, becomes the ship definitions for the online client. There definitely some of the things showed up really, really bad. Issues, the errors that were in some of the second gens, that like, okay, this one, like, Klingon ship, I think it was I don't think it was a Fregnaught. There was one of these, like, I think F5W, something like that. Some one of the F5 variants that has its own separate SSD, and like the rear shield had a shield of like four boxes. I forget what the rest of the box were defined as. It was defined as something else, which was not a shield.
Oh my.
Yeah, it was really weird. Really weird. The thing is, part of the conversion is that it actually allows you, the tool allows you to do, take the second gen, convert it to third gen. You know, you just have to tell, okay, where do you put the boxes? Okay, here's a system. Where do you put it? Here's a system. Where do you put it? You know, so you can just go click, 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 and then adjust where they are. Now, I know some of the people who helped out with that conversion, actually, they just redid the SSDs is what they did to make it easier. Though it still has some of the features of the second gens, and that is, and you have to keep remember about that, which I had to remind them because they didn't know about it, which is how we define refits. And refits, you define a refit, if you have a refit that changes a box, you have to basically create a new box on the refit, which overlays perfectly the original box, and the refit then is considered, it overlays, it removes the old one and replaces with the one that's on that refit. So, you know, that's just one of those things that people had to find out about. Okay, but moving onward.
Yes.
To the phaser, geez. Yeah, the Gatlings.
Did something really different there.
Huh. Can fire up to 8 times. That actually, for X ship, does not surprise me. Due to the exotic nature of the phaser Gatling. Gatling phaser, because I like the wording better. Phaser G or Gatling phaser. They have 2 impulse delay between each shot, including a turn break. This means the Gatling phaser.
Unlike
unlike the current one.
It can't fire 4 shots in one impulse.
Right. Also, you can't do one shot per impulse.
Right. It's one shot.
So
two impulses later. One.
Given
shot.
That,
but this is on a 64. Given
that's 64, yeah. That's the one thing I was going to point out is that, in the second gen rules that you created, you're using a 64 impulse chart, which basically it brings it back to what it was previously, which is
well the old.
Firing one Gatling per impulse. I mean, when it comes to allows so you to do that.
In the regular Gatling phaser for standard ships, you could fire all four shots in one impulse.
Right. That's the one thing that got removed, which.
When did that get removed?
No. You're removing it using in the second generations.
Yes. Which I'm thinking about it. A Gatling phaser. Gatlings just fire rapidly. Okay, so this is a rapid fire phaser.
Right.
And it's more power efficient. It's a P3.
Right. But you're doing it, you're basically making it purely what its nature is. Which is this a rapid the idea of a Gatling phaser is just a rapid firing phaser.
Yes.
Instead of what it is currently in the standard rules, where it's a defensive weapon that you actually can fire a lot more often, basically. You can fire up to four times an impulse. You can do it two and two, or you can do all four in one impulse, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I have to play with it some. The reason.
And here's the other thing I said.
Yes.
I also said that if you start firing, say, impulse 48, so you go bang, 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 eight times, and the last firing is on impulse 64, your next firing is impulse 2 the following turn.
Right.
So you could do over 32 impulses. 16 shots if they're centered around a turn break.
Right. Understood.
Now that's 32 impulses of a 64 impulse turn, but still it's
yeah.
A lot of shots. For 4 points of power.
Yeah, Chris, I would say yes. Chris is pointing out that he asked the question. So if you're using these ships with regular ships, as in non-second generation X ships, the second the regular ships, not general availability, general war ships. I've been working on the latest release of the product I work on, and that's why I got GA on the brain. Those ships, the regular ships, i.e. the general warships, would be able to fire all their G shots in one impulse, which is yes.
Yeah.
Which is basically it's a disadvantage. So it's an advantage for the general warships versus the second generation X ships, which, as I'm sure you've heard me mention before, which is the only issue I have with that at all. Normally it comes down to this, and that is that having it so the second generation X ship is weaker in some regards or different in some regards when it comes to versus the normal, the general warships.
Right.
Just goes against, to me, the whole idea. Though, obviously, when it comes to the Gatling phasers, I can see it. I can see an exception for this rule. I think, as the one that bothers me the most, really, has been the generating heat when you're not really doubling, you're not really creating more energy from the engines and power systems than the number of boxes. That one bothers me more.
Well, yeah, but think about this though. The dissipation, if you're only generating one point of power per turn per engine box, you will dissipate heat faster than you can generate it.
Mm-hmm.
It's only when you get well above your norm, one point of power per box, that you start to exceed your dissipation rate.
But the thing is, at the point where you exceed it, you have to wait. If you tone down the amount of speed you're going so that you don't generate as much heat, that means you're still having, you're still raising, when you're doing it, like one for one, you're still raising the heat level. So it could take longer for it to dissipate the heat.
Well, yeah. Let's say you have a ship with 40 power, tournament cruiser with 40 power, like a Celtorian.
Mm-hmm.
And you make a second Celtorian tournament cruiser, because I'm more familiar with this.
Right.
40 points of power.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have 50 points of dissipation. So if you're running it at 40 power, you'll pick up 50 points of capacity every turn.
Right.
Okay.
So the
now you can go over 50 for a while, but then you got to go down to 50, and then if you want to recover some of it, you got to go below 50.
So, okay, but in that case, if you decide to basically quote unquote double everything, so you're producing 80 points of power, which will produce 80 points of heat. And you only allow 50 points of dissipation. That means you have 30 points of dissipation.
You're
30 points that you need. Still need the dissipate that's been built up. That's still there.
Right.
Yes. Going on to next turn. And so that at that point, you only can produce a maximum amount. I would think at that point, you only could actually produce up to 60 power, right? I got this right, 40, 20. Right, 60 power, because that will max out your dissipation.
Mm-hmm.
And
what was the dissipation I gave?
50.
It was... No, dissipation was 50. What was the capacity? Let me walk back over the screen. Take a look.
You were going to say...
And by the way, I was...
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say you generate 80 points of power. Okay,
right.
And then at the end of the turn, you get back 50. So you've still got 30 in your capacity. The next turn, so turn one, 80 points of power. Turn two, 80 points of power. You're up to 110. Okay. And then at the end of turn two, so you've had two turns at full-blown 80. At the end of turn two, you get back 50, leaving you at 70 points. Turn three, you have 110... 50 is 60. Okay. And then turn three, you can only generate 60 points. So you went 80, 80, 60. And then after that, your capacity is full, and then you're limited to 50, which is still 10 more than your 40. So So you know, you have it, but I set it up so that it would run out.
Understood.
I didn't want you running at it the full 80 for 10 turns in a row.
I understand that. I agree with the concept of that, you know, if you generate more power, you're going to produce more heat. I agree with the concept. Yeah. I guess.
What I was going for.
Okay, go.
Yeah, the steady state, I wanted it to be more powerful than a regular ship. That's why I gave it 50 points of dissipation. That gives you another 10 points.
Right.
Steady state.
Right.
But then I wanted to give you bursts of energy that you could go fairly far beyond that. And that was the idea. And I'm thinking about reworking that anyway.
Right.
Slightly.
Right, because...
The other thing to keep in mind is that if you take damage, the dissipation and capacity are some of the last systems to get hit, not the first systems to get hit.
Mm-hmm.
So a ship that's lost a few engine boxes is not going to see any effective loss of power.
Well, it is going to see effective loss of power because it can't generate as much power, but...
It can't max out, but because its dissipation capacity is still there.
I'm ignoring the total capacity, heat capacity, and also dissipation.
Right. But let's say, okay, normally that Seltorian, it has 80 points max. Now you've lost 5 warp boxes. Okay, now it went from 80 points max to 70 points max. But long term, it can still generate 50 points per steady state. And it can still do bursts now up to 70 instead of 80.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you took that damage when your capacity was almost full, then it doesn't change a thing.
Oh, I understand. Yeah, what I was thinking of is one thing that could easily be done, it just takes a little bit of work, especially when it comes to the numbers. And that is that that could easily, the way I see it, it could easily be changed. So that, you obviously reduce the amount you can dissipate, reduce the capacity that you have, and have it so that only when you produce more energy than you have the capacity to generate, i.e., you know, if you only have like 40 energy box, you know, 40 points of 40 boxes that produce energy, and you produce more than that, like 50, you got 10 points of heat at that point.
Yeah,
only 10 points of heat is produced then, and just tone back the capacity and the dissipation numbers.
So
it worked the same way.
Something similar to that. Yeah, what I was thinking about was if you ran an engine box doubled, you would mark it as having been doubled, and then it takes a turn to recover from that, during which turn you can't run it doubled.
Hmm. That's another way of doing it without having to worry about the heat. The heat thing and having and adding one more thing that you have to track, which I think actually might be
right.
Might be a better way of doing it, because Lord knows, as an Andromedan player, I know how difficult that is on your brain when you're constantly thinking about not just the amount of power you have, but the amount of power you can dissipate and so forth. And I think adding the idea of heat to it, you know, it's just another thing that people have to keep an eye on, you know.
Right. The only downside to doing it that way, though, and this is what stopped me from writing that this weekend, because I need to think about this a little, is that the heat really, I liked what it gave me the ability to tweak the cloak.
Oh, I totally agree. I totally agree with that. You know, and if you want to go down the heat route, I see no problem with it. I just, as I said, I think tweaking it, changing it so that you just reduce the capacitor, reduce the dissipation, and have it so that as long as you don't double the energy for any of the boxes, it's basically it's stasis. It's 0-0. You know, you don't produce any heat. You don't accumulate any heat. You know, that kind of idea. Because to me that would and here's the reason why I say that. And I've said this before, which is the reason why I like that idea is that it makes it congruent with the current way that the general warships work, i.e. that
I know what you're getting
your
at.
ship
Yeah, I
produces
know
a
what you're
certain amount of
getting at.
power, and if you think about it, that power is going to produce heat. Currently, the reason why we don't have it, we don't jack up the energy levels, is because the heat that could be produced and therefore could melt the engines and other things. And the one thing that the second generation ships could do, you know, what we're saying here is that they can produce more energy, and they fixed it so that they're better engines. They can take the heat, but that heat now has to be dealt with by external systems.
Oh, by the way, I thought of the original series Star Trek episode where they did talk about heat. Corbomite maneuver.
Ah, yes. Yes.
Yes. They overheated the engines on the Enterprise.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But
Yes.
here's one of the goals I had is I wanted to take a ship and say, we're not going to add any boxes. We're just going to make the ship perform better with the same number of boxes.
Right.
Because the old second generation X ships, and even the first generation X ships, one of the solutions is we'll just add more boxes to the same ship.
I know.
So you got, movement cost one ships, and then we'll give it 36 warp, or in the second generation, 40 warp boxes. Like, okay. But I wanted to give a ship the ability to move faster, have more power, without adding any more boxes. And
Right.
this was the way I was going about doing that.
Oh, understood. Understood. And Barry, I like the idea. I really do. As a
Yeah,
certain,
you just I know, but you
there's
just
certain.
want to have it so it
I want to be congruent.
okay.
That's all.
Yeah.
Everything here that you've done, other than the heat thing for the way the heat thing is done, I see it's very congruent. I really do.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Phaser G's,
Cool.
that's borderline. That's one of the things that I can see past. You know, I really can. I don't see it really being detrimental.
Yeah. Now, the interesting thing is that yeah, it spreads it out. So in that sense, it's not as powerful as a regular galley. But then it can fire 8 times per turn,
Right.
which
Oh,
is
agreed.
like,
Agreed.
okay.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I agree. It's a very nice feature. And if obviously if you were running a 32 impulse chart, it would be every single impulse, which would be quite interesting.
Right.
But anyhow, yeah. I
Yeah.
think.
And I see what you're saying. I'm just wondering if and in terms of,
Because, as I
so you're
said,
saying, let's say I have a Celtorian, so it's got 40 points of power. So if you're generating 40 power,
right, you're producing
you
no heat.
should still be able to
It's just
you should be able to dissipate stuff.
Oh, Barry, I understand that, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
This is the way I see it. You see it as there's got to be a heat gen. You explicitly add a heat generation dissipation system, which is external to the engines.
Yes.
In the original General Warships, that was considered part of the engines, like the capacitors are part of the phasers.
Yeah. Correct.
Well, now you're saying, okay, no, the dissipation system is external, versus I'm saying that, okay, it's external, but the only reason why it's external is because of it's not enough room in the engines. The engines would have to be much larger to be able to dissipate more heat. So you have to add an external system which can be built into the ship to dissipate the heat.
So you're basically saying that as you take damage, you lose dissipate. Every time you lose an engine box, you lose part of your dissipation and part of your capacity. Effectively. Because you're saying, let me ask a question. Are you saying that let's say your Seltorian generates 40 power. Or let's say it says, okay, I've got 40 engine boxes, but I want to generate 50 power. Right. But generate 10 points of heat, is what you're saying.
Right, right. And here's the thing. What happens is that instead of having a capacitor, which is like, what you'd have them set it to, like 110? So
120, I thought.
120. Instead of having a 120 capacitor, what you've got is a 60-point capacitor.
Right.
And your dissipation, instead of being 50, it's only 25 or 20. So you only have to worry about, the only time you have to worry about heat is when you're juicing the engines. So if someone doesn't want to have to worry about, heat, don't juice the engines.
Well, yeah, but this is a second generation X ship. It should have more power.
Oh, I'm not saying it should. Yeah, but it does have more power. But when you crank that up, you know, because the second generation ships, those engines can take it, those systems can take it. It produces more heat than it previously could dissipate as part of the built-in system.
Actually, what I was thinking about earlier today was you get your rated power during EA. And then any extra power would be reserve power generated during the turn, which you could only use for certain purposes, and only generate that at a certain rate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of those crazy things about the second generation too, which was. It makes it more like FedCom.
There's nothing wrong with that. And yeah. I was thinking about using something where you could accelerate and decelerate with reserve power.
Right, right, which I think would be definitely an option. I think that'd be a good option to add for second generation X ships.
Yes.
Because that's to say, okay, well, everyone say no, you can't add that. Well, why do we have that we can add that ability to second generation X ships? It's not a general rule for general war, but it's an ability added to second generation X ships. That's one of those things that you can add. And so you can add that idea, that rule, that concept, but it doesn't have to be for general warships, which I think would make it a lot more acceptable to people. Anyhow, I think yes. Before we wrap up.
Yeah, so your second generation X ship would have a max speed of 31, but then on the 64 impulse chart, it could accelerate on odd impulse. It could move on odd impulses by accelerating.
That'd be an interesting idea. We'd have to work on that.
I'll have to think about that.
Which is max speed.
Yeah, that's why I didn't put that in.
You know, because definitely we already have seeking weapons which move over speed 32.
Oh, yeah. I've got, plasma's moving speed 64. And I wanted to add that because I wanted plasmas to actually be able to catch ships and
I wonder, but I'm talking about the current rules, general war rules here.
Yeah.
We have like sabots which move speed 40, so there's certain impulses that move twice.
Yes.
You know, things like that, and then of course you've got the flivvers and their hyper drones that move speed 64. It's nuts.
And then I think who's it? The Quixians have something that moves speed 120. They have a speed 128 drone, which is
crazy. But anyway, okay, we got to wrap up because I need to shut down. I need to be able to make sure I get to bed before midnight.
Oh, I have a 4:50 wake up tomorrow, and then I get into BWI. I land at midnight tomorrow.
Enjoy. Well,
yeah, it's a short weekend home. Yep. But this project is almost over.
Understood.
Another 2 weeks of it. All right. Good night.
Okay, good night. OBS is not working quite right lately, so I apologize. But anyhow, wrapping up for this evening, had nice little, we got a beginning of Starmada and the beginnings of it, you know, where it came from. And so we can continue the introduction next week. Well, I have to think about exactly how I want to, where I want to go next. I'm wondering whether I wanted to, probably at the moment, I'm thinking about going over, at the very least, the ships. So, you know, a ship definition, what does it look like? How does it interact? Things like that. Because I think that would be a good starting point. And then we'll start moving into things like movement, and then after movement, probably combat after movement, and so forth. You know, this might be a multi episode topic that I do as a little bit here, a little bit there, and do it that way as part of the episodes. And that's one thing. Chris mentioned ships and weapons would be cool. Yeah, they will be definitely cool. At the very least, I want to go through at least the start with a ship definition. You know, how is a ship? What does it look like? And how do those systems interact? You know, damage allocation. How is that different from SFB? Things like that. And then, you know, obviously I'll be talking about movement, combat, weapons, things like that. A little bit later, after we go through how ships, what they look like, how do those boxes interact, you know, what do you use them for, you know, how's speed defined, things like that. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.